Roster Doctor, where we fix up your roster. Today, I'm joined by the man with the balls to play unaffiliated in the final bracket of Tabletop Simulator Season 4, Finger Guns. How's it going, sir?
It's great. How are you?
Good, good. Another fun fact for the listeners. Finger Guns is the person who replaced me as the admin for the West Bracket of the Tabletop Simulator League. So,
hey, the replacement. I'm the B team.
If the West Bracket shrinks under him rather than how it grew under my tenure, I'm not saying that I was the better bracket admin, but I'll just let the number speak for itself.
Picking up the pieces from Oceania, taking off, taking a chunk of us Westers.
So you were insanely ballsy. You played unaffiliated in the top 16. You unfortunately got beat in the round of 16, but it wasn't an absolute smash. It wasn't like you were actively trolling. It was a winnable game. I think you said 15-17 was the final score.
I think it was 15-17, and it came down to bad information in my brain, not on the board. I got in one of those like locked in moments where instead of zooming out from the map and actually looking at everything, I just like my brain just decided that his Proxima had enough to evacuate, and I had to completely revamp my strategy. So I did what I thought was the best choice going into the final turn, and it was based on bad information because Proxima had no power.
Yeah,
so I guess
that's a rough beat. If you had won this whole fucking thing unaffiliated, I swear to God, like it would have been chef's kiss. Like you just like slap down Morgan, then it's like, oh, goodbye, Pat. Like I'm the king here. I don't even need affiliation or leadership to beat you guys. Just it would have been the ultimate narrative.
It's certainly what I wanted. I didn't really. I mean, I want to say that I believe that it was possible, but I did come into this with the idea that if the game is won and lost on big, splashy first turn plays, that a lot of the leadership in the game really don't matter. And the second
except
concept
Storm.
That I used...
Storm.
Except for Storm. Storm's kind of a big deal in that situation. But I didn't like how Thanos played into X-Men. I just wasn't the feel that I wanted. I didn't like how the points fleshed out for that in most cases. And I really wanted to bring Thanos. I like playing with Thanos a lot. And I wanted to bring him as much as possible. So I decided to make him the focal point here. And then the last point was that I wanted to play a roster that didn't feel like I was trying to shoehorn Thanos in to a roster that would have been better without him. And so that's how the unaffiliated roster was born.
Well, without any further ado, let's just dive into what you got here. So for characters, it's going to be Angela Enchantress, the Reality Gem, the Time Gem, MODOK, Medusa, Mystique, Thanos, Toad, Valkyrie. To me, this is just like the meta's greatest hits. And like, I can kind of get where you're coming from because there's a lot of people like on Facebook, on Reddit, on the Discords that are like, oh, like maybe if you take all the OP characters, you can like beat affiliations and like leaderships. And this is, you're taking all the right pieces to test that theory.
Tier list, the roster.
the only specific character choice I want to go over here is Toad versus Okoye. I'm assuming this is because you're going for big splashy round one plays, and Toad can do stuff that essentially nobody except Angela can physically do.
Yes. And the 14-point option to flex into Freedom Force with Mystique's leadership.
Ooh, yeah. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, you can... Ooh, now I'm not sure how to feel about this, because this isn't really leaderless, then. You can actually play three-wide Brotherhood. I feel like you sold me a false bill of goods.
Yeah, it's all a lie. I really like Mystique. I really like Deception. And Toad's, the plays that you can do with Toad are really interesting to me. I think that Okoye is probably the superior piece. And in a pure tier list, the roster, I think that she takes that spot. But in this case, I felt that the options for Toad, because you have to play the objectives so hard with this roster, because you're just leveraging a 9-point Thanos and then basically role players who I felt are more or less the best at what they do. Toad seemed like the right call.
One final thing on the Okoye bit before we continue. Did you ever consider running both Okoye and Toad? Since you're running Thanos as such like a tall centerpiece, right? Having two threats would theoretically be very enticing so that you could actually control the width of your team at threat values.
That would have been something a smarter person would have done, I think, would be to consider that. Angela used to be Baron Zemo in some of the earlier editions of this. And I really liked Zemo, but at the same time, this list just kind of like fills out points at certain levels and you don't have a lot of options because you're running 9 points at Thanos and then whatever fits that, you know, fits the crisis selection.
And then final thing I want to talk about on characters is your gem selection. So specifically no mind gem. So you're going for a full beat stick Thanos here. You've got time and reality, which means you're moving and you're punching and you're throwing out some energy blasts. You're not going the kind of typical Thanos, which is like mind gem, portal.
No, because this roster is cheap and it really wants to do things like hired muscle and then evacuate. And you do a little less beating with Thanos than you might think, because the reality gem is really more for survivability on him. It lets you kind of sell.
I get a little bit of a better picture of the angle here. Because with three activations, that means you can double move, hired muscle, move back after picking up the thing. Mm-hmm. And I think you can actually afford picking. Well, you can't pick up multiples, but you still have power for other stuff. So yeah, that and then you have the tankiest man in the world holding a citizen that he's going to cash in very quickly.
Yep, and then he's going to pick one of theirs who has a citizen, and then he's going to go and beat them up, evacuate his, and pick up theirs. And you really want him survivable for that part of the play. Because the mind gem is great, and it offers definitely superior secure control, but the survivability from reality is off the charts.
Yeah, I can imagine. He's already like the baseline for the tankiest character in the game, right? So taking him a little bit extra is always nice. But speaking of the hired muscle plays, let's just kick on over into the tactics real quick. Brace for impact, climbing gear, deception, disarm, hired muscle, med pack, PSD, and sacrifice. I like your restricted choices. I think brace and med pack is the standard two right now. But I especially like brace with the hired muscle plays, where a lot of the times they're going to try and throw shit at you out of desperation. So I like that here. Disarm, I find very interesting. How often are you getting disarm off? Because I'm assuming you're mostly playing three wide. Do you consistently find good angles for a disarm with the range three from two separate characters?
In hindsight, no. It was in there. It's in there for the scrum turn. I find that if I get to play the game that I want, there is going to be a turn where we're each going to have at least two characters. Basically like a 2v2 that's going to happen at some point. Sometimes it's more than that, but it's going to be at least a 2v2.
Yeah, and you just want to tip the balance that way.
And then, this deck or roster should have priority. Like, if you don't have priority with this, either you did something wrong or your opponent is a brilliant genius. Mm-hmm. And being able to smash something with Thanos and then disarm the other member of that posse is really good for the team survivability. Because with three models, you don't have much room for error, and you really want to keep the dice rolls to a minimum. It sounds silly, right? Because you're running this big beat stick, but you really don't want to roll dice more than you have to.
Yeah. And then finally, I just want to talk about sacrifice for a little bit, because that's a card that has been seeing some fringe play. I've had a couple of people talk it up in the right circumstances, but what's your experience with sacrifice?
Only disappointment. The head sim for this was to protect your extract carrier at some point. Specifically, some of the more or less weaker extract carriers, like an Enchantress or, please don't hate me for this, but Medusa, I think that doesn't have quite as much survivability as she might get credit for. in this type of list when she's only one of two or three.
Yeah, targets. You've got very limited pieces. She's going to receive more focus than she typically does in games where she shines. Like a lot of the times, like you're playing like a split D or a split B with Medusa, and she has to fight off maybe one or two people at range where she can triage push one of them away. It's very different when their whole team is fucking bearing down on her, because what are they going to do about time reality Thanos?
Right. And the other thing about time reality Thanos is that he really hates to flip to his injured side, because you lose the portal. And so if you can buy an extra turn with sacrifice, that's big. Now, again, this is another scrum card that in hindsight, I think could be something better. But what you do lose with unaffiliated as your team is you lose access to some of the better tactics in the game.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've been liking about AMG's recent direction, is they're putting more and more power into the affiliated and character-specific cards, which I think just allows for way more variety in the game. But unfortunately, it does make making an unaffiliated roster that much harder.
So both of these cards are also like kind of the empty. So Disarm and Sacrifice are the slots that I dropped from the second half Cabal roster that I played. It was basically just Thanos in Cabal, because Cabal is basically terrible and doesn't need, it doesn't have many options for their tactics. So this was Cosmic Invigoration and Power of the Cosmos. And I actually missed Power of the Cosmos, for what it's worth.
I've always wanted to love that card, but I've never been able to get enough mileage with it.
It's cool in Cabal, if you ever run Red Skull, because it almost pays for itself.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. But enough about daydreaming about the possibilities of Cabal Thanos. Let's move on to the crises. So you've got a not quite standard Hired Muscle package here with Hammers, or Fear Grips World is Worthy Terrorized Cities, Panic Grip Cities Evacuation Efforts Continue, and Struggle for the Cube Continues. And then for your secure half, Demons Downtown, Infinity Formula, and Riot Spark Over Extremis 3.0. So you don't have a full Hired Muscle force here, but I'm assuming you're pretty happy with your extract spread, because if you're consistently taking time Thanos on Hammers and Cube, I think he can end up with two of... basically, he can get you a big advantage with priority and be relatively safe if he's worried.
Two Hammers or three Cubes?
Yep. Oh, three Cubes. I didn't even think about the full three.
That's really cool. Got to be right for it.
Yeah, you've got to have the terrain, because he's still a medium base, medium move, but damn. Like, Angela can do that in X-Force, but, or not X-Force, X-Men, but not a lot of people can actually do the proper three cubes. It's like, I guess it's him, Angela, and Hulk with and defenders.
I think the advantage that Thanos has is his extra health over Angela. And it really powers up his portal when you're running with multiple cubes on him.
Yeah, no, I can imagine when you have more power than you have targets with portals, you know you're having a good game with Thanos.
Yeah, move up, portal people away, and then double move away. Like it's a weenie strategy, but it does work.
Going on to the secure side, so when you have Prio, are you ever picking secures?
We'll come across a few situations in the Sinister Sticks. Yes, it does happen. It happens when I think that my opponent is not afraid of playing Hired Muscle play into me on their extracts. If I think that they're going to play Hammers against me, I want to give them a big kiss. And if they're running cubes, then I have Prio, I will.
Just force them into giving you an unfair, a round one extract advantage. Or they just give you a really juicy target that you can wail on.
Right. Like if I feel that they're going to give me what I want to play anyway, even if it's the worst option of the three, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I like playing on demons.
Yeah. Thanos is still incredibly tanky on demons, even through Incinerate. Flat damage reduction is really, really good. Especially when it goes to min zero. But enough of this. Let's kick on over into the Sinister Six. So for people who have missed the, I guess the last episode was the first introduction of the Sinister Six. The way this works is we're going to have a crisis combined with a particular affiliation. We're going to talk through whether Finger Guns here would ever allow them to pick this crisis if he had Pryo. And then we'll talk through the kinds of teams that he would play into that crisis combination. That sound good to you, sir?
I'm in.
Okay. We're going to start off with not quite your top 16 match, but this is going to be Web Warriors on Cosmic Invasion, Black Order Descends on Earth. So this is a D, it's 16. Are you ever giving this to Web Warriors? Or are you ever letting Web Warriors pick secures here?
Yes, I am. Cosmic Invasion is not terrible. I like the extra power, mm-hmm. especially if I'm going to... I like the positioning of it. If you pay attention to the positioning on Cosmic Invasion, I think that you can make sure that you're getting pushed away or towards a place that you want to be.
Yeah.
And so I like that. The random element is really fun or infuriating, depending on how
it depends on how you feel and whether you win, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And 16, I'm okay with 16. More comfortable at 16 than I am at 14 or 15.
Okay, well, first step first. Which of your three extracts would you pick into this? Let's assume discarding doesn't happen or it just goes your way. Which of your three crises would you prefer to pick into this with Pryo and without Pryo?
Panic with, Hammers without.
Okay, so Panic, I'm assuming you're going to play 19 at that point if you pick it with Pryo. What does that team look like?
So 19 onto Panic, I'd be looking at either... Well, it's going to start with Thanos, because everything in this list starts with Thanos.
Of course.
Because you're not supposed to play Thanos into everything, but this list just plays Thanos into everything. And then depending on how firmly I want to maintain priority, I'm either looking at MODOK Mystique Toad, or I'm looking at Angela, MODOK, Thanos. And then I would consider in some situations Medusa, Enchantress, and Toad.
And just to be clear here, you're always taking both the gems?
Always taking both the gems. Thanos is a 9-point character in this roster.
Okay, always. So let's say the inverse, you said you would play Hammers if they had Pryo? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the inverse. So assuming they have Pryo, they would probably pick 16 because this is their crisis. What does your 16-point team look like for Hammers and Cosmic Invasion into Web Warriors without Pryo?
Well, I guess I said Hammers, but...
I mean, if you want to change it up, now's the time.
It's probably still just Panic. I mean, until something's done about Hired Muscle, like there are things that you can do with this roster on Panic with Hired Muscle that are absolutely ridiculous. Mystique, Enchantress, and Thanos at 16 is
with the deception and the bow and the portal. Mm-hmm. Like if they do a Hired Muscle play, they're dead. Or if you're feeling like it, you can just split the difference and go even and say, okay, I have Thanos.
Yep. And okay, the Hammers list would be that. Medusa, Valk, and Thanos. And you're just trying to grab all the Hammers and kill everything with them. So,
well, Medusa, Valk, Thanos would be 1 point over, right? Because we're assuming they're picking 16 in this scenario, right?
Yeah, so I got 9 and 7.
Oh, for some reason, I keep on interchanging Valkyrie and Angela and Enchantress all together. I don't know how, but at any given moment, one of them could be any of the other two when I say it.
Fair. I mean, Valkyrie's like a 4-point character anyway.
She's, yeah, she's fair enough.
Real value at 3.
Okay. Well, I guess before we kick on to the next member of the Sinister Six, how do you feel in general about the Web Warriors playstyle into this team?
It's Web Warriors is a tough match because they play objectives so well, and unless you can actually spike damage into them, it's a really grindy match. And I'm definitely Daredevil is not my favorite piece to play against with this roster. Hellcannon threw like 50 dice at me in the game that we played during
the regular season.
The regular season, yeah. And that was because he just tanked my... I couldn't kill him. I flipped him, no problem, and then I couldn't kill him. On three attacks from Thanos into him, including two throws, and I could not get enough damage through his three defense dice.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
How good do you feel about triaging Miles? Because Miles Morales will just come up and kick the objectives off of Thanos.
If Miles you're not careful. Is the primary target. If they do anything that gets Miles close enough to Thanos, that Thanos can basically at least two attacks and then three attacks. Mm-hmm. If I can throw him into something, I've had very good experiences with Miles just kind of ending. That was something that I did not do well in the top 16 game. I got scared of my dice because I had a couple of pretty blank out attacks in mm-hmm. that game. And again, because I had bad board state information stuck in my head, I thought that if I took out Miles, I was going to lose priority and then he was going to be able to evacuate and that was going to be the end of it. And so I definitely want to take Miles off the board as soon as possible. He just has to go. The leadership has to go. His Venom Strike has to go. All of it.
Seems reasonable. Let's jump on over to the next Sinister Six member. And this is going to be Demons Downtown, as our comeuppance come due, combined with A-Force. I almost said Special Delivery there. that's basically the affiliation you're playing against.
Yeah, it is. This would be a tough match. That's a lot of power they can bring to bear.
Can Thanos outfight a She-Hulk?
In my experience, yes. But it takes timing. You can't do something where you're getting dropped off into Thanos and then She-Hulk is activating and then they have Pryo. So this was one of the reasons, the A-Force matchup was one of the reasons it was very important for me to be able to go three wide at basically every point value.
Yeah, being able to maintain priority or gaining priority as the roll-off may be mm-hmm. going into round two has got to be worth its weight in gold when you've got, like, two absolute titanic characters that, like, one has to kill the other or you lose. And it's especially annoying because the A-Force half will have backup with Angela, who is reasonably good at fighting Thanos too, but not as good as She-Hulk, thankfully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have the power generation, so the hired muscle play loses a lot of steam for this approach, because Thanos's throw is a second instance of damage, because his throw is on a strike.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to nail that wild, and then you're just powering up their whole team, which is miserable. This is a punt. I don't want to play on Demons against A-Force like this. Demons for me is a secure that I want to kind of ignore. I want to have an extract advantage in the game and force my opponent to get incinerated while I maybe just kind of hold my home point.
So since it sounds like you never want to see this, we're going to assume that A-Force has priority. So you're going to be playing at 19 points. Which of your three crises do you like here? I'm assuming hammers, just because it's the easiest to go even on without priority.
I like hammers on this. I don't really want cubes. I don't really want panic. I would honestly play any of them into this. I don't think that they're all that advantage or disadvantage, but hammers would be my choice. And I would want to get two hammers on Thanos as quickly as possible and then punish anyone who is on the center line and try to take out Angela probably before She-Hulk.
What did your team look like at that 19 point value? I'm assuming you're going to go full fight and just go Thanos, MODOK, Angela and say, I'm just bigger and beefier than you.
Bingo. That's the team.
I'm just imagining that meme from Dark Knight Rises where it's like Bane circling Batman, but they've got Dirty Frank in his like pink skin tight suit, like doing the come at me, bro. That's how I imagined the A-Force versus this team would look like.
This is one of the few matches that I think I would love Thanos to have a third gem slot so that I could run Mind on him and just try to keep S.H.I.E.L.D. the heck away from me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's notes for anybody who wants to play unaffiliated Thanos into A-Force. The most successful person to do it so far would literally rather play the Infinity War narrative event than play into the A-Force matchup on Demon's Downtown.
But I mean, I would take solace in the fact that this would be a pretty quick match. Hammers and Demons.
Yeah, it's going to get started on round two. I'm not sure what the odds are, but it can't be that far off from a coin flip, right?
No.
Just whoever's dice manages to KO the other big target first.
Yeah.
Any final notes on this nightmare matchup before we move on?
She-Hulk is a beast into Thanos. It's not all that fun. It's winnable. It's far from like even really being disadvantaged. It's just I'm not used to a fair fight with this squad.
Yeah, you're trying to do underhanded tricks, and it's got to be bad when you got to take a fair fight.
Because she can roll 10 dice into him pretty easy.
Speaking of fair fights, the literal opposite, we're going to be talking about Asgard with Panic. So I guess you could foist this on them if you had Pryo. So I guess it could go either way, but what would be your secure pick into this? Because you're relatively happy on either side of this if they're somehow forced into picking this.
Yes. I think I want Infinity or Extremis. I don't love the D, but I do love one-on-ones.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to divide and conquer. Asgardian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Just try and like place away from Angela so you don't have to worry about stealing shenanigans or even just hunt her down, because you're so power rich that you can actually always pay to turn off her defenses.
Right.
So if you can just KO her off the bat, that's got to be gravy. Infinity. So this is actually an interesting question. If you had Pryo and you like picked Infinity into this, I'm assuming you would still pick 19, right?
17 Asgard, or Angela, Thor, Valkyrie, Enchantress. I might be more comfortable with that than Loki. I really hate Loki. So it would depend on if they had Loki and the gem. If they had Loki in the gem, and I was going
to... Oh, they almost assuredly have Loki in the gem. So you'd actually look to force them down to 17 just to try and get rid of Loki? Or
I'm
Angela?
I'm okay at 17.
Either way,
17
yeah.
can be Medusa Enchantress. Thanos, Medusa, Enchantress.
And then how would you take this up to 19? Sounds like you would play 19 if they had priority, so you can't go 4 wide here. Unlike if you had Pryo, you could go 4 wide and try and play man-to-man if you really wanted. But here, you're probably still looking to go 3 wide, right?
Yeah. If we're doing Infinity, we're on the B. I love MODOK on the B, because I would be looking at Angela, MODOK, and Thanos. I've got good power generation. I've got decent control. And I think that... I don't love the MODOK into Enchantress.
Nobody does. But, at least you have PSD.
Yeah, I'm not getting sapped. Yeah. And she's not sapping MODOK.
Have you found that due to Thanos having 3 attacks in an activation and a lot of throw triggers, if he really wants, is he able to kind of bypass the Odin's Blessing problem that a lot of... teams that try and like fight against Asgard typically have, where you're just like this short of taking someone out because of Odin's Blessing insurance?
I've found that the Odin's Blessing comes out really fast against Thanos. I've kind of been surprised when it was played. I expected my opponents to maybe hold on to it a little bit more to save the death play. but I played a fair amount of Exceptional Healing, and it's basically, you know, wildly similar card. Yep. So I have found that there are a lot of situations when the damage just doesn't line up to play that card efficiently. And so I think some people just want to get it out of their hand at the first opportunity that makes sense to play it. And I think that that's something that I've noticed with Thanos into Odin's Blessing, is that that's how this card comes out. Because with three attacks, there's a really good chance that you're going to get spike damage on at least one of those with the Reality Gem.
Yeah.
And the other two are going to be consistent enough that unless their defense dice are, you know, keeping pace, it hurts. So I think Odin's Blessing comes out pretty fast. I'm more concerned with Rainbow Bridge. Yes. I don't like it when people can get away from me.
Yeah, running away from you, hunting you down if you do get some kind of weird extract play. Like, they will find you. Enchantress will come and fuck your shit up. Like, she deployed across the board. She doesn't care. She'll be there by round three at the latest.
Yep. Yeah, she's nearly impossible to get away from and nearly impossible to approach without help. She dominates the one-on-ones.
Any final notes on Asgard?
I like playing into Asgard. Not because it's not as fair as it might seem on paper, in my experience. I feel advantaged into this matchup, and I
you've got enough tricks and enough tech that you can like keep up with the hard muscle shenanigans here. I feel like,
yeah,
at the very least, you're going to force it into an even state where it's way harder for you to drop the citizens you're holding than your opponent. I can definitely see it coming together.
Yeah, Loki makes it harder. Loki makes the matchup a little more friendly to Asgard. So I don't think that I would choose 19 into them. I would always want to keep this at a different number, because that 19 squad is pretty good.
Yeah, they can still keep Loki if they really want by turning Angela into Angela into Valkyrie. You see, I'm telling you, they're all literally three of the same person to me.
Interchangeable.
Yeah. Just generic Asgardian blonde woman. But that definitely does cut down the ability to hunt down and kill Thanos if they do that. So it's like, either way, you're forcing them to cede something that you would prefer that they didn't have, I feel like.
Yeah.
But let's see what we've got next in the pipe. Okay, we've got El Clasico. This is Wakanda on Gamma. Are you ever giving them this with Pryo? I'm assuming yes, because you like extract so much. But do you actually consider picking secure specifically to disrupt them and to force them onto a B or something?
I would want Demon Downtown. That would be my go-to.
Just a Wakanda. Slow E. You like E, but you'd prefer it slower.
Yeah, Gamma Waves is too fast for the number of models that I'm running at 15. 15 is actually my one of my least favorite point values for this squad. I've got Valkyrie Mystique Thanos, or I have to get out of my comfort zone and not play Thanos, which is what I brought this roster.
That's the whole point of this roster. At this point, you might as well just concede at roll-off, right?
Medusa Toad or Mystique Falcon. This is the match that I did not get enough practice into. So I really strongly doubt that I would have made it much further past the top 16 had I been able to take that game.
Yeah, with all the really nasty Wakanda pilots up there. It would
good
have been rough.
Wakanda pilots too. Like not just Wakanda pilots, but experienced and solid players playing Wakanda.
Yeah. It was a really brutal field up there at the top from watching the games. But what extract then would you like to pick into this if you were forced to deal with this?
Panic or hammers. I mean, panic and hammers are pretty much the go-tos, because cubes can be so map dependent, and especially against Wakanda, I've got Black Panther long moving. I don't want to deal with him on cubes. I like hammers because I think you just need to spike dice into Wakanda if you have any hope of taking somebody off the board. I mean, I want to ignore Panther as much as I can, and I want to get rid of Shuri. I want to get rid of Okoye. I take a special interest in Valkyries across the board for me, because I think that she's one of the few characters that Thanos has a healthy amount of fear for, because she can just spike so much damage into him.
Yeah, so she has one of the highest upper end damage outputs in the game. If you have any like dice modifications to her, or just even if you give her enough power, because Warrior of Legend Dragon Fang into Warrior of Legend Strike into Warrior of Legend Dragon Fang into Warrior of Legend Strike is theoretically possible. I've done it exactly once, and
yeah,
it'll one round a Hulk. It'll one round Thanos.
Yes, it will. That's Wakanda is a really good faction, probably the best. When I went into building this roster, it was, you know, I value Wakanda and Miles Morales' leadership as very, very highly. Mm-hmm. And I also value Syndicate leadership very highly. And so far as the thought process for building this roster and coming in unaffiliated with the big splashy plays basically being my affiliation, all of the other affiliations kind of paled in comparison to those three. And so I was like, well, if I'm not going to play one of those three, I don't think it matters.
This is a bit of theory crafting right here, but I would be very curious to see if something like this could work. You go into Wakanda, you double pass, you see what they're doing. You So 15, this gets a little bit tricky, because you would have to... you might be able to cut the reality gem here to play 8-point Thanos, Angela, and Toad. And so you double pass, you move Toad up onto the back Gamma Shelter. You see what their third activation is, and you can potentially triple move Thanos and Angela onto their back point and portal somebody off so that you score that from the start. Mm-hmm. And if they screw it up and they only put like Shuri on the back, they'll have one activation to respond to this and potentially Wakanda forever, which is why I'm really iffy on this. But you theoretically could score all three Gamma Shelters round one if they don't know what they're doing and they screw it up real bad. So that's at least the cute dojo thing I would want to try with this, is to try and put together some kind of weird 15-point team that just tries to steal their home shelter if they aren't paying attention. You don't have priority. So if you have less characters, can you still pass into having the last activation?
No.
Then I think you can. Okay.
So you can't double pass. You get to pass once. And so Medusa, Toad, Thanos, the idea is pretty similar to that. I like the idea of dropping reality in this specific matchup. I don't like what Powered Up Panther is going to do to Thanos after about round three in this setup, but that's interesting. That's worth some practice.
Generally, I've found Panther has weird action economy if you can push him away. Like, sure, he can move up and push you, but I've found he typically has a very hard time actually killing somebody unless he can like pounce into pinning them into some piece of terrain.
Right.
So, like, with creative portal usage, you might be able to, like, stop the crackback and the throw trigger on your hit. It would be very interesting to see how that played out. But any final notes on Wakanda?
Tears. Only tears. No. Wakanda deserves all the respect that it gets. And anybody who says otherwise...
Three characters, one tactics card, attention. People. It's not that hard to fit into a roster.
Yeah, like it could fit into this pretty easy.
Yeah, if you've got a bunch of great like 2 and 3 threat characters that you're taking anyways, just put Wakanda in. Put Wakanda in. It just takes three characters and a tactics.
Smarter men than me. I don't know. I don't know if this is from Cookie like specifically, but I mean, I believe that the phrase goes something along the lines of. Adding Wakanda to anything almost always makes it better, but it doesn't always make it more enjoyable to play.
That's definitely the truth. You've got to love the Wakanda style to play it, because it feels so wrong in some ways. Because it's so like push and like control oriented. You're like, We're just kind of like triaging the problems. We're not actually here to slap people around, which is the fantasy of MCP. So I totally get it when people don't actually want to play Wakanda, but always something to consider if you want to spice up your roster a bit. I'm going to get off my soapbox and get on to the next member of the Sinister Six, which may or may not be the last one. I don't think it is. I think there's one more after this, but in addition to being illiterate, I can't count. This is going to be Mayor Fisk vows to find missing witnesses with Criminal Syndicate.
So this is why you actually have to run Hired Muscle right now, in my opinion.
It's absolutely brutal if you do it right.
Mm-hmm. And so 16, I would, this is another one that I would consider picking secures on, because I think that when you're playing into Syndicate, you want to seriously consider picking secures, no matter
what. Okay, so let's proceed from the assumption that they won the roll-off then.
Okay.
What are you thinking here to do in response? Do you want to take Panic? Just because a lot of CS teams, at least in my experience playing them in Season 4, they had the Hired Muscle play to do parity if their opponent went for it. But they didn't like proactively doing it themselves, except for the Fisk play. Because the Fisk play would just get a 4-point differential on secures, and you would just ride that out till the end. You would just try and play even on extracts, and generally you would tend to stand on the points more. It ended up being very effective in my experience.
I would bring Panic. I would make them spend the Hired Muscle, hopefully ineffectively. If I discarded Panic, I would want Hammers. I mean, because again, like that's those are the go-tos. So I would bring Panic. I would be comfortable playing the Panic play into this. My game plan into Syndicate is murder. It's one of the few murder approaches that I take. I just want to get people on their injured side.
And, okay, so and let's say it's Hammers and Fisk, 16 points. Are you thinking of playing Angela Toad, or do you want to play something a little bit more balanced like Medusa Valkyrie?
Medusa Valkyrie. If we're talking Hammers here, we're doing Medusa Valkyrie. Medusa's got the push, so hopefully I can get the healthy person off after they've activated. And I need Valkyrie to ramp it up to 11. So between her and Thanos, I want to get some work done.
How do you find dealing with Kingpin? Because I feel like in this matchup in particular, where your only energy attack is going to be Thanos' Cosmic Blasts, Kingpin is arguably tankier than Thanos because he has the same damage reduction effect. He has to pay for it, but like if you're trying to kill him, he's going to have the power to pay for it. And he's got one more defense die at the cost of 3 stamina across both sides. He's still so this an one, absolute meat tank.
He is a meat tank, and I want to is a term from X-Wing. So before I played Crisis Protocol, I came over from X-Wing, and there's something in X-Wing called range management, where you're basically just trying to get people right at the edge of or just outside of range bands that are good for you and bad for them. And so Kingpin is another control point. I guess I said it's all murder, but it's not. It's murder everyone but Kingpin. And Kingpin.
Yeah, you just want to keep him at arm's length and kill all of his lackeys. Crossbones is a similar level of tankiness, but he's also way more vulnerable to energy. Thanos can pop him in a pinch.
Yep. I haven't had too much trouble with Crossbones. The energy attack weakness is great. Thanos loves it.
Any final notes on Criminal Syndicate?
It's a tough matchup. Really similar roster into Sooner. I won on Diced. So this one's not easy. Again, I feel like Web Warriors, Wakanda, and Criminal Syndicate, the three affiliations that I valued the most highly are the hardest matchups for this one. So this one falls right into that.
And then on to our final one, I believe. This is going to be another Gamma Wave. So Gamma Wave 2, Electric Boogaloo. and the Cabal's coming to fuck your shit up. are you ready to throw down with some MODOK?
As I'll ever be.
Yeah. So are you fine giving this to them? Because they aren't like Wakanda where they're full control. They're playing a more of an attrition style, but they are playing the fast secure that you don't necessarily like as much.
I would be okay playing into Gamma. I would be trying to contest the middle and keep my home. Mm-hmm. I think I would, this is another one, I would value hammers over, or I would value panic over hammers again on this one.
Either way with the roll off, or one with prio, one without?
I would say panic across the board, because I don't think the Cabal has an amazing play on panic. And if
yeah, I can very get... rarely would they. Like, theoretically, they often like to splash Valkyrie or mm-hmm. Enchantress is affiliated, so they can do like a dual flank hired muscle threat, but it's not nearly as good as the ones who do it for realsies.
Yeah, and I mean, when it comes to the hired muscle play, this 9-point Thanos, I think, just does it best, hands down. And so if they try that, they're probably losing the model that makes the play. Because they're going to be close enough to Thanos that he's going to be able to move up once, port him in, and then smash him twice, which is usually enough. And then start of the next
turn. Yeah, and at that point, you're up a person. You've got the citizen. Like, they're just screwed.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about what the team looks like at 19. You've won the roll-off, so you have priority. Are you going with your standard just three heavy hitters team, or are you going a little bit more wide here? I think they're guaranteed going to be forced into five wide.
I would be tempted to look at Mystique and Toad, mm-hmm. But I think that I'm assuming they're going to be running their MODOK, which makes me want to bring my Angela even more. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want my own MODOK. So I would be looking at Angela MODOK and Thanos here, which is also going to let me keep priority longer in the attrition game. At least in theory.
How have you found that Thanos fares into MODOK, out of curiosity?
Dice spikes are real in this game. And MODOK does them pretty much better than anybody else. But four Mystic defense on Thanos is not to be underrated.
Do you find the fact that MODOK lives at range 4 and you live at range 3, and if you walk into him, he'll just start like throwing shit at you and bowing you away? Do you find that to be a problem much?
So the 3-action Thanos is, I mean, nobody wants to be staggered, but he handles that kind of stuff better than most. And sorry, I know MODOK isn't actually staggering him.
But tolerance for taxes on your action economy is essentially the same thing, in my view.
So, agreed. I'm trying to hold Thanos towards the end of the round, mm-hmm. which I'm probably not going to be able to do. But the thing about Thanos' teleport is that if he can get to range 4 of someone, then they're within range of his strike.
Yeah.
I always feel bad because I want my wild triggers with Thanos. Mm-hmm. So I hate attacking him with Thanos, but I mean, you have to just take MODOK down.
Yeah, you have to bite the bullet unless you have like a critical mass of throws where you can just say, oh, I'm just going to bypass it. One of the worst experiences I've ever had is actually the Sooner match from season 4, where in my hubris, I decided to play MODOK into his criminal syndicate, and Black Dwarf just repeatedly threw MODOK into Kingpin and Kingpin into MODOK. And let's just say it wasn't dice were the reason I lost.
The MODOK match isn't great. I mean, MODOK is
MODOK probably is MODOK.
The best character. Yeah, and so you just have to bite that bullet and pray that the dice are on your side. So no wilds, lots of crits and skulls. So I don't love it, but it's got to get done. So
ignore any final notes on Cabal before we wrap up the Sinister Six, unless I'm even worse at counting than I thought.
I guess maybe I wouldn't want to play this on an E. I think I'd want to play Extremis against Cabal if I was given that option, but obviously I'm not in this case. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah, but forcing them into a D is Cabal's worst nightmare, though. Maybe with Sin it'll change up, though. Then again, maybe you prefer the dealing with Control Cabal than you deal with Attrition Cabal, for sure.
I'm really hyped for Sin, so that's...
I've been playing a couple of dojo games with and against her, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I think she's very solid, especially with Viper's reveal. That is going to wrap us up with the Sinister Six. So we're going to come back to your roster, and we're going to talk about potential changes after your experience in the tournament, after talking through these crisis combinations. And so we're going to talk up 0-1 crisis changes, or sorry, 0-1 changes for characters, 0-1 for tactics, 0-1 for crises. So we're going to start here with characters. I really would love to have Okoye in here. One thing I noticed is that Medusa and Enchantress, you tend to take one or the other, but not very typically both, is what I saw from your selection. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there was some way to turn one of them into Okoye just to give superior flexibility here.
That's interesting. I feel like Enchantress is... It seems weird to say, but she's kind of a weak link in the squad, because when you're only running three wide, her survivability is not amazing.
Especially because nobody's going to target Thanos. It's the same problem we talked about with Medusa, except more exaggerated, because Enchantress does just absolutely fold to any amount of focus on her. Mm-hmm. That's just weirdly thematic from her, at least from my understanding of her from the comics, mostly cartoons, I guess, but I like it.
She definitely starts strong and finishes a little on the empty side. She has a really good turn, the turn that she turn after she flips.
Yeah, she's all juiced up. Just multiple mystic attacks or beams galore, bowing everyone. Hell, let's just throw in a throw for good measure.
Beams, bow, throw. She's good. But I think if I was going to choose between Medusa and Enchantress, I think Enchantress would be the one.
Well, I guess rather than forcing you to make a choice here, what's it called? How do you feel about the roster? What would you change?
Well, Angela was extremely disappointing in my top 16.
So we could just cut Angela instead, because anytime you were going to play Angela, you could just go four wide with Valkyrie and Okoye or Toad to choice, or Mystique in place of Valkyrie. Yeah.
The three wide at 19 is what you lose by dropping a five threat from this slot and replacing it with something else. Thor would be my
rebuttal. That's if I was going to drop Angela, choice.
I think I would drop her for Thor, which would kind of kill the whole unaffiliated bit, because I think the Asgard leadership...
You bamboozled me again. You can technically play Asgard here. Why aren't you playing Rainbow Bridge?
Because Thanos can't move with it. That's interesting, though. That's something I hadn't considered, was just running Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, just play Hammers at 18 with Thanos, Angela, and Enchantress, and you just play Rainbow's Bridge and Odin's Blessing. But let's save that for the tactics suggestion. Is there any way we could fit the mind gem in here? I mean, it sounds like you're full on reality and time, so it doesn't sound like it. But I really love the idea of being like, well, they're not going to kill Thanos anyways. Why don't we just like play the reality gem in this particular matchup?
I think that I would run mind if there were 11 roster slots.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? There's never enough slots.
Yeah. Mystique is kind of niche in this list. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't see the board a lot. It's basically, she's like a like budget Enchantress or MODOK. You're just looking to get like one bow effect off with her. Mm-hmm. Try to be disruptive enough. And I like her power generation on things like Fisk, but I don't necessarily like running her at 16.
Is she the one who gets cut rather than one of your fours or fives then? to make room for something else? Are you happy with just saying anytime I need a three, I'm taking Valkyrie?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think Mystique could be the cut, which also frees up a tactic slot.
Which takes us into the tactics section. That was a perfect alley-oop from you. So tactics here, if Mystique's coming out, then Deception's obviously the thing coming out. But let's talk about a theoretical world where we don't cut Mystique. It sounds like Disarm is probably the most likely cut here.
Yeah, I think Disarm for Bitter Rivals, especially if Mystique's staying in.
Oh yeah, Bitter Rivals. Just, infinite range. Infinite range. Yeah, I'm just going to keep on saying infinite range and nothing else about Bitter Rivals. Infinite range.
Disarm, Sacrifice, and Bitter Rivals were just kind of, they were the three tactics vying for two slots as I was putting this together. And I settled on Sacrifice and Disarm, which in hindsight maybe wasn't the right call because they're both scrum cards. But because they were both scrum cards was why they both made the list. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, if I can run Disarm and Sacrifice, like that is, like they're just not going to be able to chew through who they want to chew through.
I can respect it. And any tactics we should shout out here for trying to make it in beyond Bitter Rivals?
Power of the Cosmos.
Power of the Cosmos. Okay, so I'm going to up it from 0 to 1 to 0 to 2. We're going to say we cut Deception and Disarm. It's going to be Power of the Cosmos and Bitter Rivals. Yeah. Oh, Power of the Cosmos plus Bitter Rivals sounds like a really nasty 1-2 punch if you've got infinite power.
That feels good. I like that.
Okay, well, let's bring this home by looking at the crises. So, I'm not sure where to go with this. I'm not sure if there really needs to be any cuts here. I think this might be the case of like a zero cut situation, because I think your extracts, you know what you're doing with your extracts, you're very happy with them. They work with prior, they work without, just thumbs up there. And then I can see a case for each of your secures, and I like how you've got a good spread where you know that you're going to be proactively playing extracts, but you want to be able to have solutions for specific matchups in your secures when they get the roll off. But
Cubes is situational. Cubes is the only one of these that I'm on the fence about. I like everything else. I do wish that I had an RNG secure in here just for the throw off, but I don't have enough bodies to manage the RNG secures. They flip too easily, and I feel like there's a happy medium with those where you want to be able to flip them and keep going. And while I love the idea of being able to flip them and keep going, I just don't have enough bodies to maintain them. So people just run past me and flip them back. So that's why I dropped those. And cubes, I think that there's an argument for alien ship or scrolls in that spot.
Yeah, I can actually see that, especially because Thanos can actually check two of the three.
Yep.
He can interact with two, so you can start him up on flank, move in such a way that you're within move range of the other one, I believe. Fairly certain that works with his base size. And so getting two shots at it where you've got, it's like a 50-50 at that point. You just pick it up with Thanos. Because I think it's 7 and 16, so I really shouldn't be doing math on the air, but that sounds about right.
I went with cubes over those because of how much Enchantress I expected to see in the top 16. And
yeah, Enchantress is definitely scary if you're trying to go like single extract, because she will find you. And it would have been double bad, because I'm fairly certain your opponent had Enchantress and was playing Web Warriors in the round of 16, right? So they would have just hunted you mercilessly if you had somehow dropped that in that situation, for example.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he had Enchantress. I think his roster is really interesting.
I might be confusing it with Hellcannon's roster, because I know Hellcannon had Enchantress.
My round 6 against Farmer, he had Enchantress, but he didn't bring her. And we talked about that after the match. I was really surprised, because that was a real major point of concern for me in that match. And then she wasn't on the table. And I was like, oh, that's great. Fantastic.
Well, anything we want to do on crises before we say our goodbyes?
No. I am satisfied with this spread. I think that struggle for the cube is the only real question mark. And I think that the cube's play with Thanos is worth it, but it's just really dependent on terrain, and you are putting a lot of heat onto Thanos in that. So you want to be able to back it up with some other beef, which is in short supply. So that's all I would say about it.
Beef is in short supply, and that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you very much for coming on, Finger Guns. Do you have anything you want to plug or promote before we say goodbye to all the listeners at home?
Season 5 of the Discord League is coming up. Sign-ups will open for that towards the end of April, early May.
We'll have the links in the show notes for that.
Come on down. It's been good. Each season has grown. Every season has had a little bit of an improvement to it. So I've started with 3. I got into the game last July, and I started in 3. I did okay. I played this season. I made the cut. I'm no Pat, but man, this is a great game. It's a great community, and I think the league can survive a post-COVID world when we're all playing in person again. And I'd like to see that. So come on, check it out. It's a fun time, and you get to meet people from all over the world that share your hobby, which is really fun.
Yeah, I can't recommend it highly enough. I play in most of the leagues. I think I skipped out on the pay-to-play one this time just because there weren't enough people in our time zone. But that one's also fun, especially if you love casual shit, because that is going to blow up at conventions if you haven't seen it. I'll put a link to the rules doc, but it's essentially a pot of 6 to 8 people gets $100 to do rounds of bidding on all the characters in the game. And then with whatever screwed up rosters you spent your money on, you like have to play it out for like 3 rounds. It's actually surprisingly funny. The games aren't nearly as fun as the drafting, but I think it is a great way to blow an entire day at a con, and I can't wait to do it in person once I bomb out at like LVO or something.
It's always good to have a backup plan.
But that's going to close it. Thank you very much for coming on, Finger Guns, and thank you to all of our listeners for listening, and have a good evening.